Shalom liyudim, shalom lebnei noach, shalom legoyim. It's the evening of the second day, Yud Aleph beChodesh Kislev, Parashat Vayishlach, Tafshinayin Vav, the evening of the first day, Sunday, 22 November 2015. Webcasting from Pincushion, Israel, where every Muslim or holy man wants to plunge a knife into a Jew. Last Thursday, we saw the double slaying in Tel Aviv in what turned out to be an afternoon minyan, not in a shul, as I reported, but an electronics store. Orthodox Jews do in their communities this all the time. They don't need a synagogue. And in the normal daily late afternoon traffic at Gush Etzion, an angel from Muslim hell drove by the jam, firing an Uzi out of the window, slaying two more Jews and a fellow Arabian. And when that fellow was buried, the PA and Hamas media reported that he had been murdered by IDF soldiers on the scene, who also killed the shooter. And I say stories like this should move the Prime Minister to call a news conference in Jerusalem for all the hundreds of foreign journalists here and report this item and tell them, and via this simultaneous global encircling media of the BBC and Sky and CNN and Fox, tell the whole world that with such people, Israel will not deal, will not negotiate. Israel will only dictate to them. The Prime Minister might say that with such barbaric people, these Arabs, mostly Muslims, Israel will not deal because they are so far beneath civilized behavior that they can be bargained with on some level of level thinking. 2 months ago, the famous historian Dr. Abbas, nominal head of the Arabs in Judea and Samaria, complained that a teenage boy had been killed by the IDF when there was no truth to that. And the boy in question was actually an attempted murderer, knocked down by a Jewish motorist, but he was still alive and well in a Jewish hospital, and Abbas knew that when he lied. With such a man, Israel will not negotiate and waste its time. These Arabs are the same Arabs that brought down the World Trade Center, same Arabs who massacred innocent Frenchmen and women in Paris last Friday, same people who today, for a second time, in a row, decade in a row, has a European capital, Brussels, paralyzed, its inhabitants quaking behind locked doors and windows. And Israel will do whatever is necessary to defend its people, even at the expense of the Arabs. Terrorism is an attack not only on the individual victim, but the population as a whole. Terrorism is the apotheosis of collective punishment. Terrorism in one location terrorizes people in faraway locations. The terrorist, in his judgment, judges every Jew in Israel deserving of death, so that every random slaying is just in every instance. Today, another 20-year-old Jewish woman was stabbed to death at the Gush Etzion intersection. Even after the army, since last week, not only 2 weeks ago already, placed cement blocks for travelers and soldiers to stand behind when waiting for a bus or hitchhiking. Last week, it put up fences in the 4 points around the traffic circle, where 4 roads converge. I presume, when seeing it, it meant to keep Arabs away from the bus stop. I don't know. We will learn. The army will then learn from today's murder and take another step forward, even as another Arab demon was able to enter the bus stop and murder her before soldiers shot him dead. Last night as well in Kiryat Gat, which is not a settlement, a lunatic anti-Semite with a knife knifed 4 civilized people at random, including a 12-year-old girl. And then they spent hours searching for him, and they did finally get him. On the bright side of this season of Jew knifings by suicidal Ishmaelites, an Arab called by everybody here a Palestinian taxi driver today at Kfar Adumim, at the intersection there, tried to run over some Jews by the side of the road, but only struck one lightly. Frustrated, he jammed on the brakes, jumped out of the car to go after them with a knife, but then was shot dead by a Jewish murderist driving behind him. Saw the whole thing and was armed, thank God. He jumped out and destroyed that wild ass of a man, infected with homicidal, suicidal, spiritual rabies. Like the honeybee who will protect his queen by stinging an attacker and die in the defense. These Muslims, whose brains are on fire with a demoniacal Jew hatred, so intense it's more important than life itself. Killing a Jew is more important than life itself. With the best news in the category of attempted Jew killing today in Herzlandia, this took place, the next story, in the Shomron, where a wild jackass of a female Arabian with a knife tried to stab Jews, but again, thank God, driving by was none other than the former head of the Samaria Council, Gershon Matzika, who in a flash saw what was happening and in a millisecond decided to drive his car into her. He did. Then the car went into a ditch. She's down. He's okay, but I think the Muslim she-devil was then shot by soldiers. Not sure of her fate, dead or alive. Yeah, the Prime Minister should dramatically announce a major policy initiative and assemble hundreds of journalists and all their equipment, in which he ends the Oslo process fantasy of being able to arrive at some amicable compromise with these Arabs over how to live together in Judea and Samaria. And that has been tried, and it's now in its 23rd year, and it's proven to be a failed plan, Oslo. The late Yitzhak ben Nechemi Rabin and Shimon ben Yitzhak were awarded the Nobel Prize for their plan, but now we know that those in 1993 who rejected the Oslo plan were right. No good can come from negotiating with such cruel, uncivilized, hallucinating Arab-Muslim primitives. In the 1920s here, the Grand Mufti in Jerusalem, Haj Amin, published pamphlets bragging that the Golden Dome of the Rock was built on the site of Solomon's Temple, which had been Islamic doctrine since the 8th century. Today, the Arabs here deny there ever was a temple. Never mind the 1,000 references to Jerusalem in Jewish scripture, in Greek and Roman sources to the temple. The New Testament mentions it 100 times plus. And with such low-level intellects, Israel cannot and should not deal. For its endless lies, the leaders of the so-called Palestinian National Movement are this generation's successors to the National Socialists in Germany of last century. Palestinian nationalism is as much a mountain of lies about Jews as Nazism was. Palestinian nationalism is this generation's accepted form of Jew hatred. That is all it is, and Israel is under no obligation to live according to its demented fantasy life. There never was a Palestinian people, never one entitled to an independent state in the middle of the Jewish people's ancient homeland. The two-state solution is camouflage for the uprooting and turning into homeless refugees of 500,000 Jews who have the right to live where they do in Judea and Samaria. Judea and Samaria are not occupied territories, the Prime Minister must say, according to international law, and anyone who says they are is an anti-Jew liar. The League of Nations separated Eastern Palestine from Western Palestine, set it aside for the Arabs, with the remainder left to fulfill the mandate to create a homeland explicitly in black and white for the Jewish people. For two decades, from 1948 on, the Hashemite Kingdom not only occupied Judea and Samaria with no mandate from anyone, its King Abdullah, in 1948, another nationality entitled to its own independent state there, and if he did not, this direct descendant of Muhammad himself, Israel is likewise under no obligation to enter into the anti-Semitic fantasy that the Arabs in Judea and Samaria are the ancient Palestinians whose land we stole. If that charge was never leveled at the Jordanians, it cannot be leveled at Israel. And when it is an act of supreme anti-Semitism. Palestinian nationalism is this generation's mutation of age-old Jew hatred. Israel has to stop trying to make a deal and fight for its rights.
אני מאמין באמונה שלמה בביאת המשיח אני מאמין ואף על פי שיתמהמה עם כל זה אחכה לו בכל יום שיבוא ואף על פי שיתמהמה עם כל זה אחכה לו בכל יום שיבוא
היי ניי ניי
אני מאמין באמונה שלמה בביאת המשיח, אני מאמין. אוי, ואף על פי שיתמהמה עם כל זה אחכה לו בכל יום שיבוא. אוי, ואף על פי שיתמהמה עם כל זה אחכה לו בכל יום שיבוא. ואף על פי שיתמהמה עם כל זה אחכה לו בכל יום שיבוא. ואף על פי שיתמהמה עם כל זה אחכה לו בכל יום שיבוא. ואף על פי שיתמהמה עם כל זה אחכה לו בכל יום שיבוא.
Maybe you saw the news item about members of the American Anthropological Association voting on Friday in a preliminary vote, 1,040-36, to boycott all Israeli universities. A final vote for its 10,000 members will come in April, and that will be decisive. On the one hand, the lopsided vote is disturbing. On the other, in such a gathering, the percentage of gung-ho anti-Jews is likely to be higher than the whole, and thus not necessarily reflective of the association's members across the board. It's also not surprising that it is anthropologists who are voting like this. They are notoriously addicted to romanticizing the low-level cultures they study. There's the famous case of Margaret Mead, who in the 1920s wrote a book called Coming of Age in Samoa, in which she glorified the easy sexuality of the natives, versus the residue of Victorian values in that decade that also saw Sigmund Freud become all the rage and be misunderstood as calling for the relaxation of ethics in matters sexual, which is not true. Anyway, in the 1970s, I think, other anthropologists went off to Samoa to look at her findings and follow up, and what they discovered, that she was all wet. And what academic pursuit do you think Obama's mother pursued? Also anthropology, as she lay with one non-white third world man after another. What I found of particular interest in this news story was the statement of the initiators of the resolution, quote, "As heirs to a long tradition of scholarship on colonialism, anthropologists affirm through this resolution that the core problem is Israel's maintenance of a settler colonial regime based on Jewish supremacy and Palestinian dispossession. By supporting the boycott, anthropologists are taking a stand for justice through action in solidarity with the Palestinians. Today's historic result is due to over 3 years of organizing within the association to educate and mobilize members to stand against Israel's widespread, systematic, and ongoing violations of Palestinian rights, as well as to protest the complicity of Israeli academic institutions in these abuses. The vote was also a powerful act of protest against U.S. support for Israel's actions," close quote. Yes, indeed, Israel is a colonial power, meaning an imperial power, that creates colonies on land stolen from the indigenous people of that land. And yours truly finds this breathtaking in its dementia. Israel is 6 million Jews surrounded by 300 million Arabs in 21 states. And Israel is the empire, not the Arabs. It's the Arabs who imperialistically deny to Jews and to Kurds and maybe the tribesmen in Algeria their independence. It's the Arabs that are the imperial power in this region, with our little island an enclave of resistance to their desire to spread their empire. To call the gated communities, the bedroom communities outside of Tel Aviv and Jerusalem and Haifa, for Jews, built on barren land after 1967 colonies, is to rape language in a way George Orwell would understand. In historical fact, we Jews are the indigenous people here, who speak the only indigenous language of the land, not the Arabs, whose mother tongue is foreign to this country. How tragic that Israel's ruling class over the last biblical generation of 40 years and counting never went to war against the lie of Palestinian nationalism. Instead of fighting with facts, Israel has always said, let's make a deal. Let's have a compromise. When everything known about the Arabs, about the Muslims, tells us that compromise is impossible. In their universe, there is no room for Jewish independence regardless of its borders. Last week I mentioned this crank reviewer of my book on the Amazon page. I've read it over several times and learned some things. So please put me on pause. Open another browser. Go to AmazonStore.com. Click on Books on the left side. Type in Phantom Nation. Hit Enter. On the right are 5 stars and the number 25. Click on 25. And the second review is what I would like you to read. Then get back to me. Okay, you read this rant. It is so in tune with the remarks of these anthropologists. And the dishonesty of this man, who obviously still has not read the book, and his ignorance of the situation and his arrogance are hallmarks of the Jewish people's principal enemies in this and I think every generation. He starts off by citing my first chapter in which, contrary to what he writes here, I did not discuss the definition of the word nation, but I discuss the historically accurate boundaries of the Holy Land on display in one map after another at the time of the Balfour Declaration, which make clear that at this moment the Arabs are in possession of more than half of historic Palestine. And that so-called Palestinians don't know this is one proof of the phoniness of their claim to being Palestine's ancient indigenous people. He states that 12 million Palestinians today, quote, share a common heritage, when that heritage is never described. It's a word with no content. He says, furthermore, quote, there are many inaccuracies and misrepresentations, but does not name even one. In response to my observation that this putatively Paleolithic people never had its own language, he cites a series of nationalities where different languages are spoken, but still remain a nation. Yeah, right. He cites Lebanon and Iraq. And if he does not know that the latter is a phony nation that has broken apart, and Lebanon no less a phony nation, he knows nothing of the region. And then this arrogant ignoramus proceeds to claim that modern Hebrew was invented in the 19th century and is only has a resemblance to ancient Hebrew. How does he know this? Rather, on what anti-Semitic website did he read this? This is so wrong. Modern Hebrew was not invented. Eliezer ben Yehuda invented words for objects in the modern world absent from the Bible, but used the language in the Bible to do that. Modern Hebrew is closer to the language of the Bible, whose canon was closed over 2,000 years ago, than contemporary English is to Shakespeare's and Chaucer's 400 and 500 years ago. He also has the nerve to suggest that modern Hebrew borrowed from Arabic, and makes the perfectly brainless claim that Ashkenazi Jews have no ancestral ties with this land. The author, that's me, promotes hatred and racism because my criteria for nationhood are unfounded. Later on, he says the Palestinians share a deep heritage made up of culture, customs, costumes, food, dance. It is this claim that has no foundation, and notice he never specifies. He just claims these things with never an example. As we'll see more of, he lives in a make-believe world of baseless assertions. You're listening to www.deprogramprogram.com, broadcasting from the hills of Judea. I'm Shai Ben-Tekoa. Yeah, this guy is such a crackpot. He refers to a book with hundreds of pages about Palestinian costumes or something, and I checked it out on the internet, and what do you know? There's something like that on a page in Amazon, only there are no reviews, and there's no look-inside feature, which means what? It's a phony. It's a hoax. When you go browsing for a book in a bookstore and you pick up a book that may interest you, you look at the cover, you look at the back cover, you open it up, read the table of contents, look at the index, read the first few lines. There's something going on here with this man, but he is so typical of anti-Jews today. I mentioned that on numerous occasions, critics of mine have responded not to my facts and argumentation, but called me a hater and a racist. This character also confuses the words race and nation, you may notice, mistaking them for synonyms. Zionism is racism to him, and never mind, it's impossible for a serious Jew to be a racist because there is no Jewish race. That was a contention of the pseudoscientific 19th century crackpot inventors of the word anti-Semitism, when the Jews are a nation, the way America is not a race, it's a nation. It's a nation by virtue of all its people regardless of physical appearance, accepting the Constitution as the constituting document of their society, and so the Jews, whose constitution is the Bible, with hundreds of laws and even more legislation in the 18-volume Talmud, without a word about anybody's physical appearance. The Jews are arguably the most racially mixed people on the planet. Over the last 150 years, Jews have come from over 100 countries to resurrect the ancient homeland, and they look at every skin color, every eye shape, hair texture in the world, and we marry one another. But this truth is hidden from anti-Semites like this George fellow here. He sees in Jewish nationalism racism, which makes no sense, for there is not one word in Israeli legislation having to do with race. Typical of crackpots like him, he writes, quote, "The words Philistine and Philistines were mentioned hundreds of times in the Bible, Old and New Testaments, to describe the land and the people who lived on the land." This is just more delusional, pseudo-intellectual, dishonest posturing. In the New Testament, there is not one mention of Philistines. And in Tanakh, there are some 200 mentions of them, but not one description of their land, of the people who lived on the land, and in any case, all the references are found in the first five books. That's the Age of the Patriarchs, and then the Book of Judges, the books of Samuel and First Kings. The last reference to them appears during the reign of King Solomon, who died in the year 797 BCE. The Arabs, by their own historians and others, invaded Eretz Yisrael in the year 638 CE, that is, almost 1,500 years after the last mention of Philistines in the Bible, and in those centuries, there's not one reference in any language to Philistines here. They disappeared from history. They went the way of the Druids and the Ostrogoths and the Alans. There is, in other words, nothing to the belief that today's Palestinians are the descendants of Philistines. If they were, they might know a few words of the Philistine language, don't you think? Something of their religion and practices as well. It's simply an anti-Semitic fantasy that today's Palestinians are the descendants of Philistines. This is an ignoramus about modern versus biblical Hebrew, about the history of this land, which does not stop him from claiming the Palestinians to being the indigenous people of the land. He says, the author, that's me, is a racist Zionist who follows the racist ideology that is at the core of Zionism. And I spend all this time on this crank because, believe it or not, he's not an outlier. And what's in his deranged and inferior mind is the conventional wisdom in the world, in the EU, at the UN. Israel has never chosen to combat and destroy. the last word, late last Thursday, following the 5 murders of Jews, the PM met with top security officials to plan further steps, and also said, even before they met, that, quote, behind these attacks is the same extremist Islam that threatens Europe. And I say it's about time he spoke that way, because that's my book. Palestinian Identity is a Smokescreen. What has always moved these people to their ghastly acts has been, one, their historic character as Arabs, violent armed robbers, covetous of the wealth of others, with no ethical governors on their appetite, and two, their religion, which justifies their pre-Islamic drive to rob, dominate, and humiliate. What Israel should do in this time of bloody Muslim savagery in Europe is more of this public diplomacy that links our murderers with those terrorizing the West. The enemy is not the phantom Palestinian nation, but Islam, as it has always existed. Has there ever been a time when Arabi was stable and governments did not fear subversion and assassination and rebellions? Never. Think of Bin Ali, who fled Tunisia in 2011. Reportedly with $1 billion in gold bullion. Think of Saddam Hussein, who built himself 9 palaces. Think of Erdogan, who built himself a palace with 1,000 rooms. Think of Gaddafi with his billions and his harem of sex slaves kidnapped off the streets. Throughout Arab history, every regime has ruled mercilessly over its subjects who hate the regime and resent the rulers. Israel must slay the dragon of Palestinian nationalism and rebrand the enemy as classical Islam, which has coveted the West since day one of this dreadful religion. Anyway, may tomorrow be less bloody than today. Laila Tov, Eretz Yisrael.